Hi, good morning. Hope you're all well. Great to be with you again this morning. And lovely day outside, isn't it? And trust that all is well with you and where you are and with all your family and friends that are around you. On my own again this morning, I'm afraid. Wendy and Zoe are both working today, so appreciate your prayers for them. And but yeah, I know that the Lord will be with us as we share this morning. So let's just pray, shall we? And then we'll move on and do a few other things. So. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that it is to just be called by your name. And we want to pray this morning, Lord, that as we gather together, Lord, we would encounter you, we'd meet with you, we would know you're amongst us, Lord. And although we're not physically together, but by your Spirit, Lord, we will have some sense of the connection that is ours, Lord, spiritually, through you, Lord Jesus. So bless our time together this morning, we pray, Lord. Particularly, Lord, be with anybody who's tired because they've been working, in key workers, Lord, or anybody that is going through, being affected by the virus right now. We pray particularly, God, that this morning that you would encourage them and strengthen them, Lord, in whatever way they need. In Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Good to see some of you with us and joining as we're starting this morning. Just a few quick notices as we get going this morning. Just to say that. It was great, wasn't it, to have the Zoom coffee morning, coffee time after the meeting last week, wasn't it? And I don't know about you, but really, really enjoyed that. So we'll be doing that again after this morning, 11 o'clock. I'll put up the slide at the end of the service this morning, so you can just go into the Zoom and just meet up with a few folks in there, have a chat, have a coffee, and see a few other faces. As well, just to let you know that we're starting our new prayer times this week. We've been advertising them on Facebook, on our Facebook group, and if you can join with them, so there'll be one at lunchtime and then one late evening as well. And just different times, because we appreciate that we've all got different rhythms to our lives, and different times will be convenient for different people. So great if you can join with one of those as well. And just on terms of prayer as well, in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to be joining with churches across Haverhill for 12 hours of back-to-back prayer. So each church is going to take an hour, and we're going to pray for our community and bless our community spiritually, and pray for the needs around us, and to do that together as churches in the community here. So look out for news about that in on the Facebook page and on the emails, and we'll keep you up to date with that. I think as River of Life, we're taking the last hour from 11 till 12, but that's okay, isn't it? Great, brilliant. Okay, well, we're going to I'm going to share some words of scripture with you this morning, some thoughts from the Bible. Going to do it a little bit differently this week. I actually recorded this during the week, so we'll see how it goes, really. And in one sense, I just thought I'd try it this week. So although I'm wearing the same shirt and everything, it might look like it's live. It's actually, I recorded it during the week, so I trust it's okay. Okay, Lord bless you. So this morning we're going to carry on from where I sort of said we would last week. I suggested we were going to think about the book of Acts, and thinking about how the church, even in the sort of hostile environment that they found themselves, the restrictive environment, if you like, they found themselves in, thrived and grew. And we're going to think about how the things that we see in that early church, the impetus of that early church, what can we learn from that? What can we sort of grab hold of and think, to be part of the way that we do things at the moment in the restrictive environment that we find ourselves? Just as I say that, I do want to just say that, I a couple of weeks ago mentioned how I'm struggling a little bit. So although I'm going to talk about us as a church, as church thriving, that doesn't mean to say that we sort of like get unreal with ourselves as individuals. And I appreciate that in the moment, some of us, we might have difficult moments. And I just want to reiterate that message that it's sometimes it's okay to not be okay. And if you are in this season that we're in, find yourself in a little tough patch or whatever, it's okay to not be okay, and be honest about that, won't you? But as an organization, if you like, we're allowed to call the church an organization, I passionately believe that the church can thrive in any circumstance that it finds itself. And actual fact, historically, over the years, we'll find that many of the greatest advances in church, some of the most profound, staggering church growth, has taken place in environments where it's been tough and restrictive and difficult, you know. It's not that we're meant to seek those difficult times. In fact, Paul tells Timothy that we should pray for those in authority so that we can live godly lives, and so that the gospel can grow. You know, the gospel is meant to grow. If we are as passionate as we can be in an environment that's not hostile, wow, you watch what can happen then, you know. But, you know, that said, we've seen some amazing church growth over the years. And church, I believe, is designed by the Holy Spirit so that it can morph and fit in any circumstance that we find ourselves. That's why it's not built around buildings and places. It's not built, despite the way that we often put things into practice. The language of church is organic. We're a body. That's the metaphor that Paul uses in the New Testament. And church is, you know, we're not given strict guidelines on how a church meeting should be put together. We're just given general principles in the New Testament. And if we will engage with those principles, church will thrive. And I don't know about you, but I want to thrive, not just survive as a church in this season. I want to see more people grow in their faith. I want to see us all grow in our faith. I want to see more people come to Christ and know the goodness of his salvation. I want to see that, don't you, in this season. So I don't want to be those that just sit back and say, oh, well, let's just survive. No, let's thrive. And be the biggest beacon of hope that we can be in this season. So I said we would think about this from Acts 2, and in particular 2:42-47. Before we get though, I can't resist just thinking about a few other thoughts. I just want to throw in there that for me have just really blessed me this week and taken hold of me. The day of Acts chapter 2 starts with the record of the first Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. And on that Pentecost, we see that there was a great pouring out of God's Spirit upon the gathered community. It was about 120 disciples that stayed true to Jesus after his crucifixion and resurrection. Well, after his resurrection, not during that interim period. Now compare that to the way that things looked in the Gospels. We see that thousands were following Jesus, and it whittled down to 120 people that were faithfully praying. And on one of those prayer times, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God moves upon them, and there's dramatic signs, you know, people speaking other languages they haven't learned, speaking out for God, tongues of fire, wind, you know, some amazing things. And in order to explain, and then off the back of that, we see thousands of people giving their lives to Jesus and becoming Christians and becoming passionate followers of Christ. And the person who stood up at the beginning, at the beginning of all of this, was the Apostle Peter. Now, that's significant, you see, because, you know, Peter is the one who stands up and says, this is what's happening. He explains what's happening. And then he's the one who says to them, you know, return, save yourselves from this generation that you find yourself in. Turn from your wicked ways, embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ and follow him, and you'll have this great eternity. And he's the one that they respond to on that day. God uses him to lead thousands of people into the kingdom of God. But if we just think back a little while, just a few weeks before, on the Passover that Jesus was sharing with his closest disciples, and on that particular night, if you remember, Jesus had said to all of his disciples, you will all fall away, you'll all leave me. Over the next few hours, all of you will leave me. And Peter says, no, even if everybody else falls away from you, God, I won't. Somewhat arrogant, you might say. I love Peter. He was just somebody who just motor mouth Christian, you know, he just said what came into his head. And Jesus says to him, you know, actually, Peter, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And that's basically what happens, isn't it? You know, Jesus is arrested, and during that night, you know, Peter is asked, you know, three times he's asked whether he knows this Jesus, whether he's a follower, and he completely denies that he even knows Jesus. This is why a guy who had been one of Jesus' closest followers, closest friends, experienced some of Jesus' most intimate moments, saying, I haven't got a clue, I don't even know who the guy is. And on the third time he does that, Jesus makes sort of eye contact with him, and Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. Can you feel the pain in that? He is just so disappointed with himself. When the pressure came, when the moment of difficulty, you know, came, Peter just backed down. He just said, well, no, and he fell away. You know, when he couldn't handle what was going on, he fell away. And then when Jesus reconnected with him in that moment, with that gaze, look, he just felt terrible. Accelerate again a few days, and Jesus rises from the dead, and Peter keeps his head down a bit at first, if you follow the story through. And then next to the lake in Galilee, and Peter and a few others are out fishing. I guess they're not really too sure what to do with themselves, and they go back to their old profession. He goes back to his fishing business, and he comes in. He's had a bad night. They've not caught many fish. They've got any fish, and Jesus is there on the shore, and he says to them, you know, throw your nets on the other side. Something he told them before, and Pete, they huge catch, and they come running. You know, they come. Back to the shore, and Jesus cooks them breakfast. And then Jesus has this conversation with Peter, in which he says to him, Peter, do you love me? And he says it three times, and Peter gets a bit annoyed, and he says, well, you know I love you, Lord. You know I do. And each time Jesus gives him an instruction, he says to him, well, feed my sheep, tend to my lambs, feed my lambs, you know, look after. In other words, look after my people. Be a shepherd, Peter. Care for my people. Previously he said he's going to make him a fisher of men, didn't he? You know, so, you know, be somebody who wins people to me, and someone who cares for my people. In other words, he restores Peter. And I guess in that moment, Peter suddenly felt, you know, Jesus had forgiven him for letting him down. Fast forward again now to the day of Pentecost. Who is it that stands up and says, this is what's going on. Follow this Jesus. Give your life to him. It's this restored man, this restored Jesus, this restored Peter. I mean, that's beautiful, isn't it? Jesus didn't think that Peter's denial, Peter's failure, Peter's difficult moment excluded him from being his representative. Wow, that's grace. And then just think about the people in the crowd. How many in that crowd, I wonder, had followed Jesus around Galilee or into Jerusalem, had been people in the crowd? I wonder how many of them had professed faith in Christ before he was crucified. And when they'd seen him crucified, because of their fear of the authorities or because of their disappointment in the fact that he had promised to be someone and then turned, they thought he wasn't that, you know, or just pressure of the moment. I wonder how many of them had fallen away. And now, as they see something happening that is clearly from God, they respond to Peter's preaching and they come back to God. Wow. Two main thoughts there, really. One is that the church of Jesus was founded upon people who had already had their moments of failure and backed away. It was founded and led, and the movement was built upon people who had a moment where, when the pressure came, they'd given up. When the pressure, they'd not been able to cope with that difficult moment, and yet had found that Jesus led them through that and re-empowered them and believed in them and offered them a second chance. If you found that the pressure of circumstances, situations, maybe even this season or in others, of course, you just say, you know, I'm going to give up on this God business. I'm going to give up on this Jesus business. I'm going to give up on this Christianity. I'm going to give up on this Jesus. And the pressure has meant that you've denied him in some way. And now you feel, well, how could I ever go back? How could he ever use me in his kingdom again? How could ever he could ever accept me? I want to say to you that you are ripe for his grace and his love, and he will forgive you, and he will draw you back, and he will give you a purpose, and he will give you a meaning, and you will be one of the people that he uses to take forward his kingdom, because the church is built on such as you right from early days. And the second thought that's just really much of the same is Peter himself. Peter's restoration. Peter accepting the forgiveness of God and accepting the re-empowerment of God led to thousands of others with a similar story finding their way back to the kingdom. You see, the restoration of your journey, your story, your journey back to Christ can be the means for others, maybe one or two, maybe many, many others, to rediscover this grace. It matters. You getting your walk with God straight matters, because it can matter to somebody else. You, if you might like making the effort to find Christ again, you don't know what that could mean for somebody else. Your journey is not just your journey, it's somebody else's journey. And the New Testament church, the book of Acts, the beginning of Acts there, we see was founded upon people, many people, who discovered the grace of God and then used their story to help others find that. In this season that we find ourselves in, the ups and the downs, the things that you face that are difficult, the things that you face that are challenges, let me just say to you that when on the other side of this, or even during this, you may find that your story is the very means. You walking through your journey, you walking out your story and finding God in it and finding God on the other side of that might just be the way that somebody else walks through this as well. God will help us to use what he has given us to bless others. There's this beautiful scripture that I think I read the other week that I'm going to finish with here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Been away from the Lord, found the pressures difficult, come back today, hey? The church that thrives is built on people who have discovered that God gives us second chance, third chance, fourth chance, however many chances you need. The church of Jesus Christ is built on such as these. God bless you. If you've been away from the Lord, if you're finding that you're struggling in your walk with God, my prayer today is this week you'll find strength and reconnection with the God who loves you beyond any love that you could ever imagine. That's great. I hope that was helpful. And we're going to move now into sharing communion together. And, you know, as we share in communion together, we are celebrating or remembering that God of the second chance and the fourth chance, the third chance and the fourth chance, the God who purposely chose to come and meet with us and to impact our lives in such a way that we would respond to him out of love and because of his grace. So let's just read a few words of scripture together, shall we, to remind us of why we do this. Jesus, at the last meal that he shared with his disciples, said that he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." So let's just pause, shall we? Remember the God who gives us second, third, fourth chances, the God who calls us back and woos us towards himself. And if you just need to make that reconnection with the Lord this morning, then do that. If you're in a great strong place with the Lord, then just take a few moments to express your gratitude and ask Jesus to help you to keep him at the center of your life. Let's pause and pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank you that we, like Peter, so often are in need of that moment of restoration from you. That we, like so many of those in the crowd that were before Peter that day, Lord, just need that moment where you woo us back and say, I still want you in my kingdom. And Lord, we've all been there at some point in our lives, at some stage in our journey. Maybe one or two of us are in that place right now. And Lord, we want to say thank you that you are the God who calls us, who wants us, who is passionate about wanting us in his kingdom and being part of your family. And we celebrate this morning that beautiful truth that we are part of your body and that your body was given for us. Lord Jesus, let us celebrate your life now as we share communion together. So let's take the bread, shall we, and take the wine with grateful hearts. Give thanks to the God who loves us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that was shed for us, that brings us into a new covenant, a new relationship with you. As we share this moment together, maybe you could just think of somebody that you know in your world, in your life, in your family right now, that you think just really needs something of a revelation of Jesus this day. Just lift them up to Jesus now. So let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence with us. But we want to pray for all of those that amongst us, Lord, that are being directly affected by this virus at the moment. Lord, those that have loved ones or that are not well or are on the road to recovery. And Lord, we want to pray that God, you would be with them, Lord, right now. Anybody that has sadly lost a loved one, Lord, we pray that God, you would be the God of comfort to them as well today, Lord. And Lord, we want to say thank you that you have been a source of strength over many weeks for many of us as well. And thank you, Lord, that you've helped us to walk a journey in which we've increasingly found that you are there for us, Lord, in this season. Lord, we want to lift up those that are working on our behalf, Lord, to keep society moving, Lord, and Lord, all those key workers, Lord, that are, you know, that's serving us in so many ways. We pray your blessing on them today in your strength, Lord. We pray for all those health professionals, Lord, who are, you know, hands-on, directly there, working, Lord, with people that have this virus. We pray, oh God, for your protection for them, Lord, for them to have all the equipment that they need and the energy and resources. And Lord, if any of those are listening today, Lord, or are tuning in here today, Lord, I pray in particular for them that, Lord, they would know at this very moment a sense of your presence and strength, Lord. Lord, we pray as we navigate our way out of this as a nation, Lord. We pray, God, for wisdom, Lord, and patience as well where we need it, Father. Lord, we pray for those that make decisions on our behalf, that, God, you would guide them, that they would make right choices, Lord. And you'd let the rest of us, Lord, have gracious hearts as we work that out, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we pray for all those in business or that are in need of your resourcing, Lord. For all of us, Lord, in terms of our financial affairs, we pray, God, for you to resource us and look after us, Lord. And we pray for those in other nations who are also experiencing financial hardships. We pray for your provision. We pray for your strength. Lord, let each one of us hear your voice and walk closely with you during this season, we pray. And Lord, I pray for each one of us this week. Give us opportunity to bring some encouragement to somebody else in some way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to sort of just spend a few moments worshipping together now. I don't know about you, but I've been really, really blessed by the worship team and putting together some songs for us. over the last few weeks, and today we're going to listen to Good Good Father. And let's, as we listen to this, just worship the God of heaven. Let me encourage you to just, in one sense, just tune out of everything else. You don't need, it's great to be hearing your different comments and for people to be writing things on the feed as we share together on a Sunday morning. But maybe just for these few moments, just focus upon the God of heaven. Don't write up your comments on the feed or anything like that, but just zoom in and just let Nicola and Tom and Gary, as they lead us, just minister to us, and so that we might, you know, worship the God who is there for us, the good, good Father.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, when I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just why we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. In all of your ways to us.
Fantastic, hey, amazing. Thank you guys for leading us again in worship. So we're going to finish now and just really encourage you to join us on Zoom if you can afterwards in the coffee, for coffee. I'll put the slide up in a moment so you know the Zoom ID, and hope to see you there in just a few moments time. So let's just pray, shall we? And then we'll have some coffee. Lord Jesus, thank you again for the privilege it is to be called by your name. And we pray this morning that each one of us will have a fresh sense of who we are in you and a fresh sense of life and energy for this week, Lord. Be with us, each one of us, we pray, in Jesus' name.